Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. Today, we're Painting with a Twist. We're meeting with the Painting with a Twist franchise opportunity. And Painting with a Twist is a new concept, artistic painting as entertainment. Although the basic idea has been around for years, only recently has it been formatted to be the basis for a successful business formula. And that's coming up on segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Doing great this week, Marty. How about you?
Good. Doing well. You know, nice weather up here, Don. It's, fall has hit, and, everything's going well. Feels like 5 minutes from the last show. We had an interesting show last week. We met with the Brain Balance Center. And if you missed the show, Brain Balance Center subscribes to the theory that the brain can be changed, something once thought impossible. That means your child's problems aren't permanent and the situation isn't hopeless. I came to a realization after listening to that show. It's Franchise Interviews. I didn't quite get Brain Balance, when I first heard about it. you know. And
right.
after we had the guys on the show, I said, oh, my God, I said, this is an interesting opportunity, you know.
Right.
I'm sure you had some interesting thoughts on last week as well. I thought it was one of our better shows.
Yeah, well, Bill Fowler, who was on last week along with Eric, franchisee in Golden, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
but remember he stressed it's Brain Balance Achievement Centers.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I was already familiar with the franchise, and it's just really incredible what they're doing. And, you know, you and I spoke a little bit yesterday talking about Brain Balance, how, you know, certain, you know, franchises you invest in, you want to, you know, of course you want to make money and do better for your family and do well and be happy,
right.
have freedom. But, hey, here's a franchise where you're, you know, making a real difference in your community. I mean, you're helping children who are, you know, having some behavioral and mm-hmm. You know, just learning issues and disabilities and you know, helping them to improve and you know, and try to be on the level that they're supposed to be with, you know, social and you know, the
mm-hmm.
learning, you know, level they're supposed to be on. But also the parents who are upset and worried and stressed and things aren't working and they're spending money and their child's
yeah.
on different types of medication, and it's just overbearing. So here Brain Balance comes along. Bill's partner, Dr. Robert Melillo, who's written some books and all the science of how the brain can be healed and linked with each other. They find a weakness in the brain, and it's just interesting that the stories that Eric told about actual clients of his who've come in and you know, real stories of children having issues and they've, you know, they're at a dead end and don't know where to go, and all of a sudden Brain Balance comes along and things get better. It's really interesting. You know, you like that. I'd love to have a franchise that made such a difference like that in your community.
Yeah, it's a feel-good franchise. It's a recession-proof franchise. I mean, it's I have personal experience with the situation. Family members who I mentioned to you, my sister, her son has autism, and you'll spend any amount of money to, you know, you try anything and you try everything. You know, and when you hear stories like this, I mean, I tell you, for me, it was emotional. You know, when I was hearing some of those stories, you know, that Eric was talking about, I said, "Oh my God!"
Right.
I said, "It's amazing." You know, and I called my sister and I told her, I said, "You got to, you know, check this out." So it is. It's interesting. I love the feel good franchises. I love, you know, the ability to be able to make money, but to also be able to. You know, do something good at the end of the day, like you said, Don, you know, is giving back to your community.
Right.
You know, and what does that feel like to be able to change a child's life? It's got to be,
right.
You know, it's worth what, $1 million, $2 million? I mean, so it really is. It's an interesting opportunity. I like to keep our eye on them. Eric mentioned that I think he's already looking into buying, was it a second franchise now for Brain Balance? I guess maybe
open
in
up
a
another
different
location.
Area. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty good sign, you know.
And it's overall a pretty simple business model. It's an easy build out. I mean, you know, what's your space? It's office type space, a learning center. Not something that's like a restaurant where you
mm-hmm.
have to have all kinds of things going on with
right.
You know, the space you're leasing. You know, not the case with this. Yeah, we'll definitely have them back on. They have 30 locations around the country. Another 20 are going to
mm-hmm.
be opening. A lot of, you know, just a lot of good things going on with that franchise. I'm glad we had them on.
Yeah, me too. So it was a good show. I know we had a couple articles we needed to get to last week, and as always, we always run out of time in second and one. So I know you had some pretty good ones that we wanted. We had to get to today.
Yeah, well, this is one in QSR Magazine in their franchisee forum section. 2-in-1, talking about co-branding, which is probably something we haven't spoken enough about as,
mm-hmm.
as far as a strategy, where someone can open up, you know, not just one franchise, but two well-known brands together.
Right, yeah.
Like Yum Brands does it with, you know, they have their Taco Bell and KFC
mm-hmm.
and other things. So this article, it starts out... a Nestle Toll House and Häagen-Dazs operator encourages franchisees to co-brand their units, but with a few essential tips. This article is by Robert Thomas. starts out, having opened his first Nestle Toll House in 2007, Mr. Taylor quickly became acquainted with the quick-serve industry and today owns and operates five in Michigan. He caught wind of a partnership between Nestle Toll House and Häagen-Dazs recently and explored the option of co-branding his own locations. Recently, he opened his first co-branded Nestle Toll House with Häagen-Dazs. He's already planned to do the same with the rest of his existing locations, and he offers advice to franchisees who are considering doing this, including how to keep your books, how to pick which brand to partner with, and how to leverage the relationship you have with your franchisor. The first thing, Marty, is make sure it fits. Each franchisee has a different idea of how a business should run. With that, every franchisee has a different aspect of business they like to focus on for their units. Co-branding is quite a large business venture and should fit the model of your current business. It needs to match your interest in regards to how you want to grow. There are plenty of options out there for expansion, and most of them require a lot of time and money. Co-branding is no different. It needs to relate to your current model. Make sure both brands are going to be right for your business. So obviously that makes sense. Next thing is rely on existing relationships. The economy will continue to be a contributing factor on how or how not to run your business. At the beginning phases of the co-branding projects, a lot of your success will come from the relationship you already have. First, you need people in your corner to take you through the process. Find fellow franchisees with the co-branded storefront. One thing I did at the onset of the project was contact a lot of past franchisees and figure out what the state of the relationship was with the franchisor. Who is your most important ally?
Good advice.
Because the franchisor has been first-rate during the process, they have provided the necessary resources at the corporate level to help during the initial phases of the project. Another important aspect is, you know, run it as two businesses when you have co-branded units. As a franchisee, you're always making an investment in yourself. This is why you need to be sure to use all the tools the franchisor has put out there for you. They're only designed to make you better. Furthermore, go into the project having prepared to spend a lot of money, or you'll be spending a lot of your time otherwise. There are saving opportunities during the initial phases. For instance, try to find a space that houses a similar concept rather than doing an entire build-out.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I guess sometimes in leasing space, you know, maybe that space at one time was a similar business with maybe similar equipment. You can save a lot of money by going into that space. Not just maybe the equipment. Maybe it's the pipes and electrical and
right.
Everything is all set up. So it's a cheaper build-out. If it's kind of already custom to have a space for that type of business. After you've co-branded your unit, it's a good idea to keep track of the two units as separate bodies. I've kept my accounting style to run almost as two different businesses under the same roof. This way I'm able to keep track of revenue costs and potential losses for both brands. That's pretty good advice. It says co-branding will normally provide you the best return on investment that the quick serve market has to offer. This is usually attributed to having a broader customer base for your product. Part of me always just likes to kill two birds with one stone, sort of. You know, I've just always been that way.
That's
if I can go to one location, especially with nobody having much time, and if you're with your family and, you know, one person wants coffee and pastries, and the other one wants ice cream. Hey, wouldn't it be great just to go to
That's
one
right.
place and get all that done?
No, it's true, absolutely. You know, especially when you got that great location factor too. You know what I mean? Where it's convenient for someone. You know, and, I mean, you can't eat, KFC every day. You know, and Yum Brands. I mean, there's been some cases, Don, where there's been like three different types of opportunities opening up. You know, whether it's like a KFC, Taco Bell, and I'm trying to think of the other ones that they actually own. That's possible as well, you know. Those are interesting points.
I think they own Long John Silver's, A&W. They might have sold one or two of those. Pizza Hut, I guess, is part of Yum Brands.
Pizza Hut's the other one, that's right, yeah.
Last point is be strategic. Co-branding will allow a franchisee to make even more business decisions about their units and overall business. Speaking from my own experience, I was not told what brand I had to use by the franchisor. This allowed me more opportunity to find the right brand that would go with my current product. He says it did help. Häagen-Dazs is already an established brand. And he says, again, I wanted to make sure both brands would balance each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is something, especially if you're in that food category,
right.
Something to highly consider. I think, uh, I mean, it's become, I mean, I wouldn't say standard, but you see a lot more of this going on in the last 10 years of co-branding. I think I've even seen it at some airports while traveling some of the trade shows where you see some co-branding going on. I'm always thinking to myself, well, you know, whenever I see that, I think, hey, that's a smart move for some reason. I don't know, you know, we'll eventually have to get statistics on, you know, how much co-branding has helped or, you know, what are the pros and cons. And I just happen to think that, you know, it's a winning formula. You know, you hear more and, you know, we're reading more about this. I guess it's something that definitely works.
Yeah, we had, I mean, we had the kings of co-branding on the show. I think it was Scott Hainer. It was probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and I remember him throwing a lot of statistics at us on co-branding. So I'm going to have to go back and listen to that show, or maybe we could even play that show again, you know, as we're on this particular topic.
I think
know?
At the Jersey Shore one time, I passed like a KFC co-branded with a Taco Bell. And I remember thinking, hey, you know, isn't that great? You know, like, you know, man, you can go there and you have your choice. I mean, you know, people love options and choices and,
well, that's what it is, you know, and you can't please everybody, especially when you're dealing with a family, you know what I mean? You know, not everyone may want, you know, fried chicken, you know, so they'll want to go for a taco.
Right.
Or Long John Silver's, whatever it may be. But, yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to go back and look up some of the stats on this co-branding. It does seem to be a trend, you know, that's taking place.
I imagine, well, like in here, I mean, it's going to be more expensive. You're going to have higher startup costs. But I guess I'm a big believer in always, you know, maximizing your odds of being successful in whatever you're doing. I guess that's what co-branding is. I mean, you're increasing your odds of being successful.
Yeah, I like how he, you know, mentioned in the article, too, that, you know, he does treat it separately, you know, as like two different businesses.
Right.
You know, so he's got two different scorecards, you know, and I think that's sometimes difficult for a lot of new franchisees. Sometimes it must be very difficult for a lot of them to move from managing one franchise unit for, let's say, 5 or 6 years and then say, okay, now I'm going to manage another one. Like, it's going to be interesting with Eric, you know, he was mentioning last week with Brain Balance. And I'm sure he's going to be very successful doing it because it is a system. But to manage two as opposed to one, I think,
right,
you know, there's other obstacles that you run into. Of course, you can never be in two places at the same time. With co-branding, sometimes you can, though, can't you?
You know, co-branding, like, maybe it's something Brain Balance to think about. Children go in there, and they're, hey, at the end of their hour session, wouldn't it be nice to have a Haagen-Dazs right near? Brain Balance and Haagen-Dazs. Or Baskin-Robbins.
Ice cream.
All beans,
yeah, exactly.
Brain Balance and Baskin-Robbins.
Well, you know, one of my favorite, and I think you were the one to tell me about this, Robert Needham, when he was coming up with that whole concept of buying different types of franchises, you know, instead of, it's not really co-branding, but in other words, if I were to do this today, if I were to get into franchising, that's a model that I would follow, is buy a carpet cleaning franchise, maid cleaning franchise,
and like an air duct cleaning or something like that.
Yeah,
have the same
like
client
that,
who might need those other services. So you have built-in clients.
That's what I mean. I mean, you already have your foot in the door, don't you? So,
yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense to do something like that? So you could own, and then you treat that as one company, I guess. I mean, that was all, I thought that was how it worked. But I'm going to have to go back and revisit that show as well, because I remember Robert Needham talking about that topic, and I thought that was fascinating as well. And it's not the same as co-branding, but it makes a lot of sense. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, business, which includes franchising, is always going to be changing. And sometimes
you're talking about thinking big, you know. And I, you know, the one thing that I learned about you, the one thing I've learned from you, I should say, is, you know, to always have, you know, multiple lines in the stream, you know what I mean? To not put all your eggs in that just that one basket, because if you have five different types of systems, perhaps, you know, if one does go bad, well, the other four are working, you know what I mean?
Especially if you're in a pretty populated area and you open the phone book and you see there's like 100 carpet cleaning businesses, and then you open up and what was the other thing you said? Well, you know, let's say like air duct cleaning, a bunch of companies doing that, and you're like, well, how can I compete? Well, maybe by having a business that does three different things. You know, this way,
yeah,
you get a client. It's really almost like getting, you know, two or three clients. Because if that person's happy with how you handled their carpet,
mm-hmm,
pretty good chance they're going to come back and probably hire you to do their air ducts, for example.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I think it's a good concept, and it's something that we should probably talk about again in the future. I was getting my hair cut last week, Don. The place I was getting my hair cut, they have the construction going on in front of their building.
Yeah.
And they said it's killing their business. I walked in there. There was nobody in there. I said, oh, my God. I said, this is great.
Yeah.
And they said, no, it's not. They said, you know, construction, you know, they've been here for a month already, and our business, they're just destroying our business. Putting all your eggs in one basket, sometimes it's a little dangerous at times, too.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot of different concepts we can talk about, you know. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of the whole co-branding concept, though. And, you know, as you're always talking about is thinking big. I think that's so important. To not just to think above one franchise unit. You know, there's a lot of people out there that just say, I want to own just one franchise. And you say, why? You know, why
yeah,
not go for two or three or ten? You know, look at
right,
look at the gentleman from Rita's. What's his name? The CEO of Rita's. Why is it not coming to me?
That was a couple years ago.
This guy, he worked with Dave Thomas.
Yeah.
It's the most inspirational story. He barely graduated from high school. He said he graduated on a prayer. And he ended up owning, I think it was like, was it 48 Wendy's or something like that? 48.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? And he sold it with his brother. He said, you know, he never could have achieved that through, you know, unless it was through franchising.
Right.
You know, because he understood the importance of systems. So, but that was the thing was he said he thought big. You know, he wasn't thinking just, oh, I could have just owned one Wendy's franchise and that would have been nice. But,
yeah,
you know, why not own 48 of them? So,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, interesting.
It's a topic. You have anything else?
I'm not sure how much time we have before our guests come on, but we can always...
I'll give you a cue when I see them call in.
All right, here's something through Forbes magazine by Deborah Sweeney. Sandwich Survivor, five reasons why sandwich franchises sell and succeed. Starts out, hard to argue that we're one sandwich short of a picnic anymore. Every year you can count on hearing more about success of the five-foot-long juggernaut Subway and its constant expansion, which has turned us from choosing McMeal to Eat Fresh Value Meal. Not to be undone, many other sandwich shops are continuing their rise throughout the United States and beyond. Quiznos is taking Tampa, Florida by storm with a deal to locate 53 restaurants and the gas stations throughout the city. Wendy's Arby's Group has sold about 82% of Arby's to the Roar Capital Group in an effort to focus more attention on Wendy's, who we're just talking about.
Yes.
The Roar Capital Group, overseas, sandwich chain Pret A Manger, who I've never heard of, known throughout Europe, Asia, and some parts of the U.S., is about to get the Parisian treatment by opening two shops in Paris this year. I mean, franchising is all over the place, international, obviously, and basically says owning a business franchise is an excellent way for an entrepreneur to begin getting their name out there with the help of a big brand name guiding their way to success. Despite the recession and storefronts going empty, sandwich franchises have kept expanding without expanding waistlines or inflating budgets. Franchising are the future with good reason. The first thing they talk about, Marty, is best way to get your foot in the market. If you're an entrepreneur looking to work in the business world for the first time, buying a sandwich franchise is easily one of the most affordable and profitable moves that even recent college grads can invest in. I mean, I don't totally agree with this. In college grads,
right.
It says startup costs for Subway, as cited by Entrepreneur, range anywhere from $84,000 to $258,000, which out of the top 10 sandwich franchises, among one of the cheapest to establish. Investors are more willing to back up a franchise because of the tried-and-true tested business model, which ensures less risk of the business crumbling. Brand is also a huge factor. The brand recognition of Subway among consumers is one of the most trusted sandwich restaurants in the United States. So starting out, this is a woman that probably should have called us first. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Subway is very successful, and you
right,
know, you don't need experience to open up a sub type franchise,
mm-hmm,
and I guess it is pretty
right,
simple. We've had like Jersey Mike's on, started here in New Jersey, very successful around the U.S. I remember our guest talking about the simplicity and just doing the basics, talking to the customers and just providing a good, consistent, quality sandwich at a good price and have a nice atmosphere. Subway, although, is very successful. I mean, I don't, because people always ask me, Marty, when I tell them I'm in the franchising industry, and they ask me what's a good investment or a good franchise, and they'll bring up Subway. And I don't always, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it's a successful franchise, but it comes back to what's your background and what are you comfortable with. Sometimes, always you have to take into account competition. And with the franchise, you open up the Subway, what is your territory? How are you going to be able to expand the way you want to? It's not as simple as this article starting out.
It's interesting. I mean, we just had another Subway open up in our area, Don, in the last 5 years. And I don't know if the same person actually owns all of them. But I think it's like a 2 to 3 mile radius. It seems like there's a Subway. It's amazing. It seems like Subway seems to be everywhere, and I know they're not everywhere and anywhere. But it is amazing. You put one up and they explode. It was interesting talking about the college graduate. And you're right. Where are they going to come up with the money, for something like this after, graduating from college and you got this $100,000 tab sometimes that you have to pay. Back. Although we did have a very successful story, I think you remember. Remember when we had Derek Henze on the show and he bought Toppers? He invested into a Toppers franchise. I made that presentation in Chicago 3 years ago to call them collegiate entrepreneurs. And not many of them wanted to go into franchising, which I understood because they're so entrepreneurial. They wanted to be the franchisor, But Derek was one of the individuals that came up to me after the show, and he said, I like everything that you just said. It makes a lot of sense. And this young gentleman, very mature, by the way, for a college graduate, and I think because he served in the military as well, he invested in 3 territories for Toppers, So I thought that was an inspirational story, to do that. He was actually documenting the whole process as well. It was interesting. So why don't we do this? Let's take a break. Our guests haven't called in yet, so I suspect we'll play a couple commercial clips, and when we come back, I'm certain that they're going to call in. So we'll take a quick break. But those were I thought those were great articles, Don. So very good job.
Good
articles. Good job.
Thanks.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, well, you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with the Painting with the Twist franchise opportunity. And Painting with the Twist is a new concept, artistic painting as entertainment. And I think we have, is it Kathy or Renee? Is that Kathy?
Yeah, both.
Kathy and Renee.
Oh, good. Hi, Kathy and Renee. How are you ladies doing today?
Good.
That's fantastic. And joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Kathy and Renee.
Thanks for coming on, Renee. Kathy, good morning. We're very interested in hearing what Painting with a Twist is all about. Who came up with the name?
I would have to give credit to Kathy. This is Renee. But Kathy came up with the name. We had a company store here and with a different name, and we couldn't get a clean trademark on that when we decided to franchise. And I threw a temper tantrum, and she came up with a new name.
Actually, my ex-husband's wife came up with the name. So it came from my side of the family.
I'm very glad I asked that question.
Yeah, that's a story. Fantastic. Well, every time, you know, it's we tell people, they say, who's going to be on the show next week? And we said, Painting with a Twist. I mean, everyone's saying, oh, my God, that's cool. What is that? You know,
yeah.
So I suspect you get that a lot, you know.
We did in the beginning. This is Kathy. We did in the beginning. It's becoming a known, pretty much known throughout as we sell more, you know, and get out there more. more people are beginning to understand what it is. But in the beginning, it was. People were showing up with wine bottles to paint. They weren't quite sure what they were doing. They knew they could drink, so they were here, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And where are you ladies calling from today, just so our listeners know?
The New Orleans area. We're actually in Mandeville,
fantastic.
Which is on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, New Orleans being on the south shore.
Okay, fantastic.
That's excellent. My
and
mom grew up in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Oh,
right.
Went to LSU. I still have some relatives in Louisiana. I used to go down there a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of Louisiana ties.
And where are y'all calling from?
Well, I'm in Pennsylvania, which is actually on the eastern part of Pennsylvania, right on the Delaware River, and Don is in New Jersey. John's a New Jersey boy.
Yeah. We just sold one in Pennsylvania, and we're getting ready, I think, to sell another. So it's coming up your way.
Wow,
okay, good.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's great. So, you know what, Kathy, I guess I'll start with you. What were you doing before starting painting with the Twitch?
You know,
what was
I guess,
about your background?
You know, and I do get that question a lot. I guess I was a community volunteer. I spent a lot of my time, I was president of the Art Association. I spent a lot of my time doing fundraisers for nonprofits as well as private individuals. Renee and I still do that because we love doing that when we have the time. I had two companies before. One was a restaurant in the 80s and the other was a jewelry company, in the 90s. So I've done different things. The 5 to 10 years before we did this, I was a community volunteer.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure that helps you. I saw, when I was on the website last week, I saw that you guys are still actively involved in fundraisers. It was, I think you did something recently for autism, didn't you?
Right. Well, we have a program called Painting with a Purpose, and it's a class that we do once a month for a nonprofit, and we give 50% of our proceeds to that nonprofit. We do it every month in our four stores, our corporate stores, our franchises. It's optional, but most of them do it. We do not take royalties from that. It's our way of giving back to the communities that have been so good to us by purchasing franchises. And we just feel like it's something we both really like to do. I mean, that's why we're partners. That's why we remain partners, is we really are both on the same page with the fact that you got to give back to your community. It's just the right thing to do. Right. So, and we also feel, I mean, it's a good business model. People want to patronize businesses that give back. So it also helps on the other side, too.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a lot, Don, haven't we, lately? You know, last week and, the beginning of this show, it's just giving back.
And something else that, go ahead.
Oh, how about Renee? Maybe a little bit about what you were doing, Renee,
before
starting the company.
Before starting this company, I was running a medical practice, an orthodontic practice, and love it. I mean, I love the dental field, love that part of the business, the dynamics of running that business and the sales, but I was ready to do something else. I was getting a little tired of doing that for 20 years, and Kathy and I were working together on a lot of fundraisers and school events and raising money in the community, and we saw that we worked really well together, and where I lacked, she had a strength, and where she lacked, I had a strength, and we were brainstorming. We found out we were neighbors, our kids are good friends, and we both had the same mindset, and so we decided, let's do something. It was post-Katrina, and we needed to do something. We needed to do something for we felt like would make a difference in the community. And what we didn't know is opening this business, you tap in to building self-esteem. And really, we thought it was just going to be a party. I mean, coming out of New Orleans, who doesn't like to drink and who wishes they could paint? I mean, it was really great.
Right.
But once we opened and we saw people were like, you don't understand. I didn't think I could draw a stick figure, and I just did this. I mean, the sense of accomplishment, and this town needed that. We needed to be able to make people feel better, and it happened. And then come to find out the whole country wants to feel better. Didn't know that.
Of course. Particularly during these times, I guess, too. You know what I mean? I suspect. So I'm fascinated with the whole concept. I think it's a great story.
People ask us how, we've had just really good growth and in the middle of a recession.
I saw that.
We actually opened in the beginning of the recession. Who knew? But it's a known fact that during the recessions, depressions, alcohol, makeup, and movies don't suffer.
Yeah, I've seen
because
that study.
Because they all make people feel better about themselves, for good
That's
or for
right.
bad, you know.
Exactly.
So when you're looking, and we're a great value, $35, you get a night of entertainment, and you get a painting you can take home. You can hang it on the wall. You can give it away. You can donate it to somebody. So you're taking home a tangible thing, you know,
right.
From your evening of fun.
So wow. So tell us, Kathy, how, you know, for people looking to invest in a franchise, you touched on it a little bit, but you just explain the whole business model of painting with a twist and you know, and why it's starting to be successful.
Is that your question? Can you describe the painting with a twist franchise system?
Right. Yes. I don't think so far people are
right.
understanding completely the business model. Maybe you can talk about that.
Well, and, you know, I have to say our question was, what do you mean by business model? To us, we have two components. One component is the franchises that are out there and who they are and what they do and how they operate, and the other is the corporate structure of how we facilitate that. And I wasn't sure what
okay.
you were which way you were going.
Yeah, I guess more on the franchise side.
Okay. On the corporate side?
Yes.
Okay, Renee?
The corporate side, basically, looking at this, we wanted to make sure we had a model of a franchise that almost anybody could do. There are franchises out there that are wonderful, great concepts, but they're expensive to get into. And so we
mm-hmm.
knew what one right. of the primary goals for us was to keep this franchise cost at a minimum so that we could facilitate anybody out there to have the American dream, to own their own business. So we kept the franchise cost low, $20,000, and the royalty low, 6%. Against some of the models out there giving us advice saying, you know, it needs to be more than that. It needs to be more than that. And that's really not what we wanted to do. We wanted anybody to be able to experience what we had experienced and get it into their community. We have a very strong marketing, internet-based social media structure. We have a very powerful mm-hmm. website, internal point-of-sale service. We have very strong training. We have a lot of hands-on facilitators that go out to the studios and do tips and tricks and rejuvenate. And so we really thought if it was us, which it was us because we had our own company stores first, you know, we've been in there. We know what it's like to run a studio. What would we have wanted someone to do for us? And that's what we provide.
That's interesting. What about the industry, Kathy and Renee? I mean, you know, Don and I were trying to figure out how to categorize you guys. We have a library of like 80 different industries, and we said, God, what industry?
We coined the phrase, I believe, I'm sure we did, called art mm-hmm. as entertainment.
Arts and entertainment. Okay,
art
great.
Art as entertainment.
Okay. So
yeah.
we're going to have to create a whole category for you, it sounds like.
Put it
like.
In there.
Interesting. And your website was fascinating, by the way, though. I mean, you know, the feel I get when I look at your website, you know, was just fun. You see everyone smiling,
right.
you know, and I think it's one of these, you know, we were talking about this last week, Don, where a feel-good type of franchise opportunity.
Right,
well,
and that's,
you
know, you
are
people are looking for that now. We talked to a potential multi-unit franchisee yesterday, and she said, one of the investors said, people are looking for experiences, not more things. And that is
yeah.
just so true. And, you know, and that's where I was saying to me, and I'm finding with our customers, the experience is more important to them even than the piece of art that they leave with. You know, people, you
yeah.
walk out with your painting and you run into a friend, and you're not going to, first thing you're going to do is show them the painting. The first thing you're going to do is say, I had so much fun last night. You know, and it kind of, it rings true throughout the system because, I bet with 58, well, I think we have 50 franchises open, or I'm not sure exactly how many, sorry. But I don't even have on one hand the amount of complaints we've received from customers, from our franchisees, or our own stores.
Wow.
I mean, we've been open since 07, and on one hand, the complaints, and usually, the complaint was that they didn't like the music, or, you know, it wasn't about really about the programming itself.
Right.
In fact, we get the other day we had a thank you, which we love to receive, and a thank you from a woman. I'm trying to think where she came out of. I think it was a Texas franchisee, and she wanted to make sure that the corporate Painting with a Twist knew that she not only had a great time, she said, I had a great time at your studio, and I'm so happy y'all started this concept. For 2 hours, I didn't think about the kids, the bills, the mortgage.
Yes.
I just had a good time, and I forgot that I had cancer. And I'm like,
wow. And that's the sort of things that, I mean, Renee and I'll sit at our desk and start crying.
Of course. Yeah, those are the stories that inspire you.
We get people who are painting their painting with their girlfriend, and they'll write, will you marry me, and turn the painting around and show it to her.
Wow.
You know? I mean, it's just fun. I mean, it's a fun business.
It is. It's
and that,
fun.
You know, that's what's driving it, you know, is that people, you know, even owners now, they don't want to, you know, something that's just going to be, I mean, it might make them money, but it's not going to,
it's not going to fulfill them. Yeah, I can't see where this franchise will not be successful around
right.
the country. It looks like it's a pretty simple business model. Feel good. You talked about the owners. What type of owners or franchisees have been buying painting?
We've got accountants. We've got dental hygienists. We have retired teachers. We have people who have been in huge corporations and that are just ready to get out of that corporate structure and have
mm-hmm.
their own thing.
We have a geologist and an engineer. They're partners.
That's, yeah.
Wow.
We have
a photographer.
We have a photographer, yeah. It pretty much runs the gambit of Middle America, which is, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's a nice diversity to your franchisees, which I think adds to the franchise as well, and I think it gives
right.
the franchise character having that diversity as well. Has technology played a role in this particular franchise?
A huge role.
Kathy or Renee? It
has,
okay.
Renee,
how so?
A huge role. We knew early on that it was important that this was a web-based system and that you could get into the back panel program from anywhere. And so that was really important to us. And then the social media aspect. I mean, we went to the International mm-hmm. Franchise Convention and met with the technology department meetings. And we were, and I hate to say it, but we were a little bit ahead of the game as far as the social networking part of this industry. And
mm-hmm.
It's played a huge role. And we knew when we came, came into it that would be important, but we didn't realize how important because our demographic, which are women 30 to 50, are very much into to Facebook and Twitter
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing, and
right.
they're taking pictures at the class and uploading them onto Facebook, you know, and saying on their phones and saying, look what we're doing, blah, 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 this is so much fun. So, and because we're such a visual business, we
mm-hmm.
need to have that. We need that technology, our website up there that people can access and look at the paintings and, you know, and
wow.
And make reservations from there. So technology has been a huge help to our business.
Great. That's great.
How about the training?
Oh, yeah,
I was just going to talk about the training, Marty. We're thinking the same there. How's that process?
You know, our training is intense. We try to keep it short because we know that people are away from their families and their businesses and
yeah.
their lives. But it's very intense. And being that this, a lot of people say, well, why do we have to go to training? I mean, we're hiring an artist, and artists know what to do. I mean, they're artists. It's more than that. It's, you know, the
right.
entertainment side is very important. I mean, your largest competition is a great restaurant, a comedy club, or a great football game. And we need to be a choice on that night, which means it has to have the fun factor. And, yes, we know that all these artists that are hired to work at a Painting with a Twist, they come with a natural skill. But do they have the natural skill of the entertainment side? So we
mm-hmm.
go into a lot of technology-intensive management part of our system with the owners and managers, but we do a lot of training with the entertainment side of the artist, the multitasking, the communication with the customers to make sure that they feel like they can do this and they've got confidence and that they have a fun night.
interesting. So getting back to the characteristics, Kathy or Renee, I guess it's some, you know, there must be some things that you look for when someone expresses interest in becoming a franchisee with painting with a twist. What do you look for as far as those characteristics that spark?
Well,
that,
a spark. That's, you know, we look for for somebody who's passionate about it, because you have to run your store. You have to be passionate about it. This is not, like Renee says, this isn't McDonald's where all you do is put a sign up and people know what's going on in there. You know, it's you need to get into your community. You need to know your community. You need to be willing to do some, you know, grassroots marketing. Join the chamber. Go to their things.
You need to love to give a party. You need to be a hostess. You need to love people, love your community, and want to provide a party.
Wow. So what's a typical day like as a franchisee? I mean, what are the franchisees doing right now, you know, at this particular time or during a typical day? What is that like?
They
are answering
the phone to book private parties or to answer questions about classes or the painting. They're answering questions about when a certain painting might come up. They could be doing the newsletter, which goes out a couple of times a month. They could be building their calendar for next month. They could be trying to figure out what advertising venues they're going to be doing.
They could be getting dressed to go to a women in business meeting where they're going to bring an artist along and do a presentation. They may be meeting with a local hospital or for a team building event. They may be speaking at a PTA meeting about why art is important as education and so involvement.
Exactly. And so, and I guess the parties typically take place at night, of course, you know, I guess after work or something like that. Is there a particular day that's most popular for the events?
Well, weekends are more popular.
Weekends
you know,
are more popular, right?
Friday, Saturday. We run Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The rest of the other nights are open for private parties for people to do that. We do the team building, and that sort of thing goes on during the day. There's not a whole lot of drinking in the team building, so you know, so they would do that during the day. And the kids' parties, too, are during the day on weekends, and during the summer they're during the day.
And we do find, which is ironic, going across the country, here in New Orleans, Tuesdays and Thursdays are great weeknights to have an event. But in other areas, Mondays and Wednesdays are better for some reason. So there is some flexibility in the structure. We do have mandatory Friday, Saturday night events, but you get to choose the two other evenings that work best in your community.
It's kind of ironic that you have this type of franchise in a city that's known for, like, entertainment and for, you know, happy, upbeat, partying type of city, and that's kind of, you know, what your franchise concept is all about. You have 50 franchisees. I mean, it's probably already happened that, you know, people have wanted to maybe have a protected territory or expand. I mean, usually when people have just one location but have a large territory, or sometimes people, your franchisees, this is not the type of franchise where you open up multiple locations, but you could have a large protected territory, right?
Our protected territories are pretty much the same. We give 120,000 people. We found that if you give too much more than that, you can't service them, and then you know, and then that's a problem too. We don't want them to have any more than 50 people in the class. You lose the experience.
Right.
It gets too noisy.
Right.
If you know, people can't hear what the artist is saying. It's just not. You know, it's just not the same experience.
And the customer doesn't feel important when we feel that if it's larger than that.
Right.
But we do have areas that have many painting with a twist. We do find that the protected territory does service a store quite well. But if you look at our Dallas and Houston areas, there are several painting with a twist in driving distance to the other, but they're all doing very well. So the way that it's laid out has worked well for us, and it's not something that we don't test here, and that's why we love having our four company stores separate from the franchise, because it is a testing ground, so we could test it here before we roll it out.
That's interesting. How would you describe the location, Kathy, Renee? I mean, is there an ideal location that you advise your franchisees to have, and how much space is required for something like this?
The smallest would be 1,200 square feet, and that doesn't really allow you a private party room. So around 18 would probably be optimum We also look at, you know, frontage. You know, you want a big glass front if you can get it, because that's a billboard for you. At night, you're all lit up. People are in there having a good time. People see that going on from their cars and start calling. And, you know, it's like it's one of your best marketing tools is to have that.
Absolutely. And as far as future plans, I mean, how big would you guys like to be one day? I mean,
well,
again,
that answer changes daily.
I imagine, yeah.
Today, 1,000.
Yesterday, we were finished.
Yeah, maybe yesterday, right. We were 50 over.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it just,
I mean,
you know, it just depends on, you know, we have not really done much marketing. It's all been word of mouth, or Facebook
right.
has brought some people into us. We have not really, we haven't marketed at all. So, and we're clipping along, you know, at a couple a month. So, and for us, because it's Renee and I, you know, and our, we've got a good, a small, diligent, hardworking staff, we can manage that. And we can also manage to help the people that we're opening and make sure that we're not leaving them in the
right.
dust. You know, if we were opening 10 a month, we couldn't give them the attention that we think we need to give them.
So we're going to keep growing smart. We're
mm-hmm.
just going to we stay in touch with, we have mentors through the IFA, and we're going to stay in touch with them, and we plan with them. And so we're clipping along at a smart rate with a strong system.
That's great. I mean, I could see this, you know, whole thing going international as well, you know.
Oh, Lord, you've got to be switching
over
here.
Yeah, it should be interesting for both of you. You know, it'd be interesting
yeah.
to document this whole thing on video, as you can see. You know, you're definitely going to grow throughout the whole United States.
Right.
You know, it's really funny. Someone asked us the other day, "Can I pitch this for a reality show?"
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me
well,
that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's there you go, and you'll sell out the whole country right away,
yeah.
you know. I mean, because when you do hear about it, I mean, it is very exciting, and it's very interesting, you know. And I like the ability to be able to put a smile on someone's face. And you get that feel
right.
from the website
yeah.
when you go to it, you know. It's just that your customers are happy. And it's like,
right.
God, what a great business to go into.
Right.
It's low cost, you know.
Right.
And so it seems like you have a winner here. So that's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Should they just go to the website? Are there numbers they should call?
Well, they can go to the website, or they could email us, which is corporate@paintingwithatwist.com.
Okay, easy enough. And I want to thank both you ladies again. You've been fantastic, Kathy and Renee. And Don, I would love to have you come back next year, as we suspect you guys are going to continue to grow throughout the United States and eventually the world.
Well, once they hit their 100 mark on franchisees, you give us a call.
Okay, wonderful. And thank you guys for having us so much. And really, when we come to your area, we'd love to give you a call and let you go to a Painting with a Twist, maybe meet you and experience what this is we're doing. We'd love to have you.
That'd be great.
We'd love that. I know my wife would love to go to something like this as well.
She would.
I mean,
it's a great date night.
It.
It's a great date night.
She might even be a future franchisee. Who knows? You
there
know?
You
so
go.
We'll have to,
there you go.
So it was great talking to both of you and having you on the show. Thanks so
okay.
much, Kathy and Renee. It's great to have you.
Thank
have
you so much.
Day.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Renee. Thanks, Kathy.
Great.
Take care.
Have a great day.
It's a great show, huh, Don?
Interesting, and that's what's nice about our show. Look what we had on last week. The type of show that helps children with learning, behavioral disabilities. This week, it's this type of franchise, the artistic painting as entertainment. You know, we bring everything in franchising to you.
That's it, you know. So good job on segment one in the show today, Don, and thanks everyone for listening. Go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchiseworldradio.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Have a great day. Take care, Marty.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great day.